Form an offense.
Everything you need to know in sports that affects Maricopa County, the state of Arizona, and the world, you get in 4 minutes. We start things off in Salt Lake City. Suns a winner over the Utah Jazz, 117-103. Devin Booker with 24.7 boards, 5 assists. DeAndre Ayton, serviceable, 14 points, 8 rebounds. The story, the bench. The Suns outscore the Jazz bench 47-25, led by a great game from Terrence Ross, who spoke to Bally Sports.
The last couple of games for the bench has been really good. We made it an emphasis to go out there and maintain the game or elevate it. So, you know, we're doing a good job of that. So we just have to find a way to bring that every night.
Suns day off today. They return home, take on the Minnesota Timberwolves tomorrow. Tip off at 7 o'clock, and it's expected that KD will suit up. Go! A loser, 5-4 against the Edmonton Oilers at home in Mullet Arena. However, the Mullet Magic was back in this third period where the Coyotes scored 2 goals when they were down 4-2 to tie it before Edmonton got the game winner. It was a great game from Hayton and Michelli. They both had 2 goals. McBain and Schmaltz had 2 assists. And Keller extended his point streak again. He's at 13 straight games. He's had 11 goals and 11 assists over those 13 games. Here's Barrett Hayton on his performance lately and putting the biscuit in the basket.
Obviously, it was a tough stretch at the start of the year for myself personally. And obviously, it sucks going through that stuff, but you learn a lot. And I think that's kind of a example of that where, obviously, I guess it's kind of a steep difference there, but it's kind of a buildup of that process throughout that whole period.
Andre Turney, even though they lost, he's happy too, as the head coach looked at this brutal part of the schedule and the fact the Coyotes are off all the way until Friday.
Well, he saw a lot of pride and a lot of character. I think the guys are really push hard. The hell week is over. I think it was a tough one, you know, 5 game in 7 days with 4 different city and those kind of opponents. So we'll be good to have a good rest tomorrow.
Coyotes will practice on Wednesday, take another day off Thursday, and then they're at home on Friday against the Dallas Stars. Face-off 7:30. D-backs a winner 7-6 last night against the Cleveland Guardians. The big news there is they scored 4 runs late, and it was all because of the young players that are still down in the minor leagues that are expected to explode at some point in 2024. Corbin Carroll went 1-for-3 before he left the game. He upped his spring training average to 370. And how about Ketel Marte? He went 1-for-3. He's now batting 167 this spring. He's called the designated hitter, and he's batting 167. Mad Bum, typical Mad Bum, threw 5 innings and allowed 4 runs for $17 million a year. D-backs take on Cleveland today, 12:40 in a day game at Chase Field, and that's the last performance of the D-backs for spring training. They fly out Wednesday, opening day, Thursday night in L.A. against the Dodgers. Oh, and congratulations to Chase Field. They've been ranked as the 27th best stadium in Major League Baseball. There are only 30. Lots of football news coming out of the Biltmore, where the NFL owners are meeting for their annual winter get-together. Colts general manager Chris Ballard, first GM in the league to actually admit they're somewhat interested in Lamar Jackson, but that might be a slam on the Cardinals. And finally, also at the NFL owners' meetings, Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, was once an assistant coach with the Washington Redskins football team and Washington Commanders. Well, when asked about what was his reaction when he saw how much the team was actually going to sell for, he said,
"Wow, the organization's worth that much?" And, you know, I couldn't get free coffee.
If you go to Bell's Nashville Kitchen for the food, you're going to be shocked what a great bar it is. And if you go to Bell's Nashville Kitchen because you want to experience a great country bar, you're going to be shocked at how great the food is. Let me give you an example. When they put coleslaw on your sandwich, they don't get the coleslaw out of the fridge from days before. They make your coleslaw while they make your sandwich. Just a portion, just for your sandwich. That attention to detail, that freshness, is Bell's Nashville Kitchen on Main Street in Old Town Scottsdale. Bell's Nashville Kitchen, you found home, down home.
Yeah.
Now, I don't understand this at all, but if you run a stop sign and then you pull out in front of me and I'm going 50 miles an hour and you're going 3, I'm going to have to get over and pass you and come right back in the lane because I got to turn right. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Whatever it is that you've decided to make Doug Franz Unplugged a part of your day, my family greatly appreciates it. My name is Doug Franz, and you have found the only podcast in the world totally devoted to the coverage of the four major sports franchises of one great American city that drops on your phone every weekday morning. We also cover ASU, U of A, GCU, the Rattlers, the Rising, and the Merc. This is Doug Franz Unplugged. Make sure that we all understand this. I just crushed the open again. Thank you. By the way, microphones love that when you clap right in front of them like that. I mean, this is I get so excited when I have so much to tell you, okay? I'm already looking at this chart here in front of me, my outline of notes, thinking, okay, I didn't get through everything I wanted to do yesterday, and even today, we are completely packed. But yes, my drive into work today, I don't know what you call those, like, mini access roads, like, you know, where there's a... At houses that at one point probably had long driveways, and then eminent domain took half their driveway, and then somebody, some genius in the city said, we're going to have this small road in front of your house that used to be the real road, and then we're going to put this little island divider, and then the real road, okay, is going to go through. So somebody was on one of those mini little access roads and just decided, I'm just going to run the stop sign. So he's traveling along with me, like we're both going northbound, and he just darts inside the little island area, and boom, he's in my way, and he's going 3 miles an hour, and I'm thinking he's going to speed up pretty soon so I don't need to get over because he's driving a sports car, and he doesn't. He actually gets up to about 10 miles an hour about 100-200 yards later, and I'm now coming right on him, but I'm turning right up at the very next stop sign, and I don't want to sit and slam on my brakes. There's nobody in any lane beside me, so I decide, well, I'm just going to go pass him. So I get in the center lane, I pass him, I come back. I don't even buzz the tower this time because it's Lent, and my wife has a way of finding out everything I do wrong in Lent. I don't know what it is or who she talks to, so I decide, okay, I'm not going to cut this guy off. So I get over, and then the guy starts honking at me. I'm like, now, wait a minute. You run the stop sign. You go 47 miles an hour slower than I'm going. I pass you, and then I slow down to turn right, and he starts honking at me for passing him. Like, how that was kind of the beginning of my day. But I got to tell you, I got a great, interesting lesson here on simply perspective, okay? I probably went to bed about 1:30 is when I felt like I just said, I'm done. I knew I wasn't retaining information, and there's so much I didn't get done last night when it comes to what we would call finding sound in the business. You know, there's the entire thing that's going on in the NFL at the Biltmore this week. There's interviews with every single AFC coach yesterday. Every single NFC coach is available today. And I wanted to listen to all the AFC coaches, and I didn't even get to one of them last night. So there's different things that I didn't get done that I wanted to. And I went to bed about 1:30, something like that. And I slept in until 5:15, which is a little late for me. So I was running late. I got to work at about 6:20, 6:25, and I'd like to be at work at around 6. And so I come in, and I'm walking in the door, and this guy is standing there. And it's typical of me to be judgmental because I am not a fan of overt cigarette smoke. Now, the ones that don't stink or the ones that are like the indoor vaping stuff, I pray for you. I wish you didn't need it because I want you to be healthy. I don't want you to get sick. But at the same time, I also consider it none of my business either. You know, you're not bothering me with it, so why should I, you know, worry about it other than worrying about the human being? Well, this guy was smoking and it was blowing right in my face. And I get really nervous about that because I got throat issues and my voice is reasonably important to me. So I'm sitting here thinking about, oh no, I hope I don't smell it. I hope I don't, oh, you know, when I smell it. And then he looks at me and he goes, hey, how are you? Unbelievably pleasant man. And then I feel like a jerk that I was thinking about, why are you smoking so close to the door? Do you know that's a state hazard or whatever the rule is? I'm never really going to say that, but I admit I was thinking that. And I said, oh, I'm good. I'm good. How are you? And he goes, good. Why do you always get here so early? And I'm thinking, I'm 20 minutes late. And it was so funny, just the perspective of this guy looks at me as some kind of role model for coming in early, even though I've got, you know, my flip-flops on. The hamstring didn't go up high enough for you to see the flips. So, and I'm not trying that again, to be honest.
And I come in 2 hours before you.
I know, that's what I was thinking. I was getting ready to say that. It's so true. So Jeff gets here at right around 5 or so, 4:45, somewhere about there. CEO Chris comes in at around 6, maybe 10 till 6, something like that. I come strolling in today at like 6:25, feeling terrible that I'm late. Now, granted, I'm working all the way until 1:30, so I don't like feel that bad. But it was funny. This guy thinks I'm early. Two other people at the station come in before me, but before him too. So he doesn't even understand it. And then I said, well, I'm a talk show host. And he goes, what? A talk show host? What station? And I said, WTSMTV.com and Doug Franz Unplugged. And he goes, never heard of it. And I don't know why I felt like some weird trash talk in the morning, but I said, oh, but you will. And he goes, okay. Like that. I don't know why I said that. It's not like we have, like, I believe in us a lot, but it's not like we are getting ready to have this huge marketing push that starts tomorrow and I'm getting ready to have a parade go by his house or something like that. But I was entertained by that this morning. My regular announcement that I'm going to drive you crazy with, I don't know why I did that. I've never done that in my life. I don't know why I did that, that cheesy clap right there. Gosh, who used to do that? Wasn't there some really bad late night talk show where the guy would clap and then start talking? Gosh, that just rang a bell for some reason. But anyway, really jacked up about our Cinco de Mayo celebration. And I admit to you, you know what? Maybe we should make it annual. I've never celebrated Cinco de Mayo in my life. I haven't. That's not supposed to be offensive to anybody. It's just supposed to mean me being honest. But since it's the perfect time that there was an opening for a couple foursomes at Whirlwind Golf Club at Wild Horse Pass for us to celebrate, the unsanctioned event is the golf outing. But really, I would really like you to find a way to play. I'm not going to lie to you. It ain't cheap, but it's just a time for us to get together. And if you could play, I'd really love to be able to say to Whirlwind Golf Club, look at these people. I got to spend money, you know, because that's kind of the whole deal. That's why they advertise it, so you spend money eventually. But what's really important is if you can make it a point, figure out a way to get there on May 5th to Civlic, which is simply the restaurant. When you put it into your phone for directions, you can still just put in Whirlwind Golf Club, because it's the same thing. That's where the pro shop is and everything else. When you have your first wing at Civlic, you'll go, thank you, Doug. I guarantee you, you're going to, well, now, not that I had anything to do with it. Ryan's the cook. But I mean, you're gonna think I discovered, like I'm Lewis and Clark, and I just discovered something, the Snake River. I discovered these wings, even though Civlic's had them for a long time. So I can't wait for you to try them if you haven't had them yet. And I really want you to try to figure out, okay, how can I make this work? Come home from, go over to Civlic on my way home. One beer, please. And then leave for a one beer happy hour. Great. If you're going to stay longer, make sure you figure out a way to either drive home safely or get yourself an Uber. And when I say figure out how to drive home safely, great rule of thumb is a drink an hour with plenty of water in between. And I don't think I've ever told that story since WTSM TV started, but I know I've told it on Doug Franz Unplugged. The great, you know what? I will tell it. Who cares? Even though I got a lot of stuff to do, it's about having fun, you know? So sorry if you've heard the story. I don't want to be like that one old football player. I forget what his name is that used to retell the same stories all the time. I'm pretty confident that he doesn't watch Doug Franz Unplugged, so I think I'll be all right. So I have a buddy who was a police officer. He's retired now. And he told me this thing because I made a joke about it once thinking it was untrue. And he said, that's totally true. I said, what? The beer that a lot of cops confiscate from underage drinkers, they use it not for themselves. At least I don't think so. They use it and they give it to people that come in to actually start drinking and be tested as drunk drivers. And so I never thought that that was true. And yes, it's totally true. So he brought me to one. So I had to sign a waiver that said I wouldn't drive for 10 hours after the event. So he drives me into the police headquarters. There were people that were having office parties there. It was so strange. And I'm just by myself. So what it is you sit and they have mixed drinks. They have all kinds of different alcohol there. You can also bring your own. So I bought a 12-pack of Sam Adams because I wasn't going to drink, you know, teenage yellow beer. And you just start drinking, and they give you a breathalyzer. They give you your own mouthpiece, and you take a breathalyzer to make sure you're at 0.0, and then you just start drinking. Well, I wanted to work while I was there, so I'm watching the Coyotes. Now, this is like 5-6 years ago. The Coyotes were actually, you know, reasonably average at the time. So I'm drinking away, and it was so weird. I walk up, and I take another breathalyzer. The cop looks straight at me, and he says, sir, I'm going to need you to drink a lot faster. Now, they ask you for an air name. Seriously, they said, we want you to use a fake name because we don't want anybody else to know who you are. So what would your fake name be? So I chose Mr. Wolf. Honestly, you know, a lot of people, because of a couple arguments, a lot of people thought Wolf and I didn't get along. It's so untrue. Wolf and I are really... we're really good friends. Like, men are really good friends, you know? It's like, I still call him like once every 18 months. We hardly ever talk on the phone, but man, when we see each other, we're really happy to see each other. However, out of all the things I've ever done that alienated him, and sometimes he had a right to be mad at me, this was the one thing he got really mad at. When he found out that I called myself Mr. Wolf, he's like, man, don't use my name like that. I said, I didn't say Wolfly. I didn't say I'm Ron. I said, I'm Mr. Wolf. He goes, don't do that. He was like really upset at me. Well, anyway, so I'm walking around with his name tag that says Wolf, Mr. Wolf. It said Mr. Wolf on it. And I'm drinking away, but I'm taking notes and watching the Coyotes. I'll tell you why the Coyotes part is important in a minute. So I'm drinking and I'm drinking. The guy says, hey, I need you to drink more. So I start drinking a lot more. What I didn't know is the whole time I'm drinking all the police beer, people that are thinking about becoming a police officer, people that are at the academy, and first year cops, and then any cop that they kind of think needs to learn a little more, I don't know who some of the young guys are, they're in classes studying how alcohol affects the body, studying for the signs of DUIs, studying how to do different DUI tests and things like that. So once everybody's pretty liquored up, they bring all the young cops in and they do that pen test thing. And what they're supposed to do is they're supposed to approach you like they're pulling you over. And then they ask you some questions. And then we're allowed to give whatever answers we wanted. And then they give us the pen test while they're talking to us. And they do all kinds of things. So it was kind of scary, to be honest, because when I started drinking a lot, I got up to, I felt drunk. And then I went over for the breathalyzer and I was at 0.07. So technically, I was under the threshold of 0.08. Now, please understand if you don't know this, if you get into a wreck at 0.07, you're still going to get sued and you're still going to lose. And they're still going to blame you for everything that happened. You just don't get hit with actual severe DUI, but you could get hit with impairment, things like that. There's a difference. So don't even risk it. All right. But anyway, I blew 0.07 and I'm thinking, this is insane. I'm not even remotely drunk, and yet, the other way around. I'm terribly drunk, and I'm only 0.07. Well, then they feed you pizza, and I didn't realize this, but the pizza starts to absorb all. This is turning into a longer story than I thought. The pizza starts absorbing all of the alcohol. I started to feel sober. And it really scared me because I guarantee you I've had some beers, I've eaten enough and thought I was fine and drove home. Well, then I go to the next breathalyzer feeling fine and I'm at 0.13. That totally freaked me out. So I felt drunk on an empty stomach at 0.07 when I was actually under the legal limit. And I felt like, quote unquote, as some of us might say at a bar, fine at 0.13, which really scared the crap out of me. And then they said, please keep drinking. Please keep drinking. I'm like, I'm on 0.13, but please keep drinking. So then those cops, those young cops come in. And I tried as hard as I could, you know, to focus and do really well in these tests, not slur my speech, blah, 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 blah. So one cop pulls me over, talks to me. And then when I'm done with filling out the thing, he has to say what he would do and then put Mr. Wolf down. So he said that. So I asked him, what'd you write? And he said, I would have arrested you. I said, okay, wow. All right. And then for some reason that scared me. Like, I'm in this closed environment and this cop says, I would arrest you for DUI. And I actually start thinking about being in jail and my kids and I don't know. Like, you know, then you kind of calm down for a second. Well, then the next cop goes through it with me. And I asked him, what would you do? And he told me he would have called another cop in for backup to get a second opinion. Okay. After that, I probably got interviewed about 7-8 more times. And each one of them said, I would let you go. Isn't that scary? And now granted, these are young guys that are learning, please don't be mad at the police. That's why we do this, because then they get that sheet. And then the sheet says, you know that Mr. Wolf guy you would have let go? He was at 0.1. I ended up at 0.16, was as high as I got. He ended up, you know, he's at 0.15 and you're letting him back on the road. And yet I pass a test because I was really focused and stuff like that. And that's really scary to think some people get put back in the car probably. Now, usually that's why you're doing this. You're not experienced enough, or maybe you don't even go into the police force after you fail that a couple times. But the reason why I'm telling you this story is because don't make that mistake when you come out to civil court ever again. You're in the unplugged army. We have a responsibility to society and most importantly to our family, to our kids, okay, or to the people that you might injure. And I wanted you to know that story of how easy it is to be fooled. So don't tell me about your tolerance. Don't even think about what you ate, because sometimes what they explained to me is that pizza absorbs the alcohol, so now it's inside the bread. The problem is, as you digest the bread, you might have stopped drinking for an hour and a half, but as you digest the bread, you're releasing more of that alcohol back into your system. You're not sobering up, even though you think, well, it's been a long time since I had a drink. So those are the lessons that I learned. So I care about you. Sorry I just spent 10 minutes. We're not even to Doug's big one. I had a lot of other things to talk about today, but I wanted you to know that. And once I get rolling in a story, that's kind of the point of Doug Franz Unplugged, even though I was even more unplugged than my own chart. Every Monday, I'm on 1580 The Fanatic at 1 o'clock. However, I had a little bit of a scheduling conflict yesterday, so we moved it to today. So if you get an opportunity today, please be listening to the main event with Steve and Izzy, and I'll see you at 1 on 1580 The Fanatic. All right, now it's kind of taken me a little while, but let's roll.
Doug's big one.
Doug's big one today. Listen, I'm a fan too. So I'm just as hypocritical as they are, since I'm going to continue to be a fan. But there is nothing in America more hypocritical than the NFL. These Yahoo owners are amazingly hypocrites. And we've got to hold them accountable. Admittedly, we're hypocrites because we're going to keep watching the games. It's not like I'm tuning into the XFL or the USFL and saying, you know what? The NFL's run by people that aren't very good people. I need to start watching XFL. You know, okay, I'm not doing that either. But here's what's recently happened to show you the NFL hypocrisy, okay? Number one, they tried to take you totally for granted as a fan, and they floated a story to see your reaction that they're possibly going to flex Thursday night football. So therefore, Thursday night football, they think it's going to be a good game. They make the schedule in April. The schedule gets released. It's now a December Thursday, and they realize this is a dog game, but there's a great game coming up. Let's flex the great game on Sunday to Thursday. Not even caring about the fans. Like last year, the Cardinals played a game week 2 in Vegas. Could you imagine how cool it would be if you knew the Cardinals were in Vegas, it's a Sunday game, you have your whole weekend planned to go to Vegas, and then suddenly they move that game to Thursday? You got to work, you know, but the NFL didn't care. So that was the story they floated. Well, now after hearing the negative reaction, the NFL has said, you know what? we're going to put a rule in place that instead of flexing the ability to flex the entire second half of the season, it's only going to be allowed once a year. Who are they compromising with? They expect you as a fan to go, oh, okay then. If it's only once a year, okay. It's wrong 100% of the time. You're screwing fans anytime you do it. But they float out this story that they might do it 5, 6, 7 times, create a panic, and then go, oh, it's okay, you're only going to do it once. That's how these people operate. Hypocrisy number two, the Lamar Jackson situation. Washington just came out and said they're not interested in Lamar Jackson. Washington has Sam Howell and Jacoby Brissett. Lamar Jackson, Sam Howell. Sam Howell has started about, I think he's played 5 consecutive quarters at the NFL level, something like that. But Washington's not interested. This is the greatest quote I have ever heard in my life when it comes to total ignorance, in which in which Martin Mayhew, the general manager, said this. Let's see. Let me make sure I get cheat find this. Here you go. There are a ton of talented players that could help us that we don't end up talking to for various reasons. What? If a player's talented enough to help you and they're in free agency, why would you talk to them? Like, how do you not even talk to them? What general manager says, well, there are a ton of talented players that could help us that we don't end up talking to? What? Could you imagine being in a regular business and you're in sales? Okay, you're a salesperson. You're trying to sell, and your sales manager says, you know, what's our plan to do this? You said, well, there are a ton of qualified businesses that could advertise with us, but we don't talk to for various reasons. Yeah, that's great. Martin Mayhew, general manager of my team. Yeah. And then, well, the reason why I bring that up from a hypocrisy standpoint is it's clear the owners are colluding against Lamar Jackson because Lamar wants to be paid a guaranteed salary. So Washington's acting like Sam Howell's better than even talking to him. And the last bit of hypocrisy that's amazing, Jim Trotter is one of the best journalists in the game, in football. He's a great, great journalist. And with him being such a great journalist, he is working for NFL Media. Since you work for the NFL, you're supposed to not be a journalist anymore. You're supposed to suck up to the NFL. Well, during the Super Bowl, Jim Trotter, who never has had a chance to interview Roger Goodell, they never once had Trotter and Goodell sit down for a one-on-one interview. He's never had access, was just a regular Joe Blow in the media. And during the state of, it's called the State of the Game address, where Roger Goodell makes a little speech at the Super Bowl and then he answers media questions. Jim Trotter didn't put the microphone down. He kept asking and asking about the lack of diversity in the NFL and specifically within NFL media. So his own branch of where he works talking about the lack of diversity, and didn't relent once he got the chalk cheese ball answer from Roger Goodell. Well, his contract was ending this weekend and they never negotiated a new one. They told him 3 days before his contract ended that we're not going to give you a new contract. So they just waited till his contract was over. So then he ends up, they can say, well, we didn't fire him, and his contract dies. Yeah, that's the hypocrisy. So we're supposed to be treating these people in the NFL like they're media. Like the Cardinals have their own website, okay, azcardinals.com, and they hire writers for their own website. And we're supposed to trust their integrity when we know if any of them actually act like a journalist, guess what happens? They're fired. And now Jim Trotter is gone because you know what he did wrong? He acted like a journalist. Jim Trotter, I support you. If you want to come work for free or create your own show here at WTSM-TV, we want you. But this, what a class dude, knowing this could happen. And he still stood up for what he believed in and asked the tough questions, and it cost him his job. And if there's anybody that respects that, it's me, because I kind of feel like, not to his level, he's much better journalist than I am. I'm not really a good journalist, to be honest. But I feel the same way. I asked tough questions. I wasn't afraid to say what I should say, and it ended up costing me my job. I look at this guy as somebody that I really respect. The NFL, not so much. Let me throw you a curveball, Jeff. I wasn't going to hit a break. I was going to go straight to Suns, but you know what? Since I was telling drunk stories, I should probably get a break in here at some point. We got Town Hall Tuesday today. That's coming up. We got a hilarious story. You're going to say, no way are you doing this. Yes, I'm going to talk Cincinnati Reds baseball today. I promise you, you'll be happy with it when you find out why. But most important, Suns win. Suns win. I don't know why I'm waving my notes at you. That's next on Doug Franz Unplugged, presented by Whirlwind Golf Club at Wild Horse Pass. Come on, Unplugged Army. I'm jacked up for Cinco de Mayo as well, but we got to earn it. Got to earn your pillow today. Work crazy hard today. Crush it. Make other people intimidated by your work ethic. That's what it means to be in the Unplugged Army. No excuses. Let's not whine about the situation we're in if we don't like it. But let's stick together and help each other get out of a bad situation. And that's why I want you. Why I want to see you at Civlic coming up May 5th. The happy hour for us will begin at 5 o'clock, but I might still be on the course. So be a little patient with me and meet each other. Bring a business card. Talk to people if you want out of the current situation you're in. Let's stick together. I want to get to Suns. Suns a winner last night, 117-103 in Utah. I'm really jacked up about this game. I mean, the second and third quarters, not very good for the Suns, but they crushed Utah so bad in the first and fourth. And specifically, the bench, the last 3 minutes or so, 4 minutes or so of the third quarter, they exploded and basically expanded what was left of the lead. Listen to these numbers. Ish Wainwright and TJ Warren both had 9 points. I realize it's only 3 points, but D. Lee played 4 minutes. It was a clutch little three that he hit just to make sure Utah didn't have dreams of coming back. And Biombo and Campaign, 11 and 12 points. Biombo went 5 of 7, throw in 5 boards, and even had 2 assists. Campaign in only 21 minutes. 4 of 9 from the field, went to the free throw line 3 times, 3 boards, 5 assists, had his 12 points that I told you about, no turnovers, and was plus 15 on his plus minus, okay? The bench was phenomenal. Overall, 47 to 25. That's the bench scoring against Utah. I'll tell you why I think this is a huge deal in just a second, but I want to tell you what Terrence Ross had to say after the game. By the way, I didn't tell you this earlier, but full credit goes to WUSA in D.C. today for the sound credits for my Mike McDaniel. The Yotes PR department sent me a lot on the Coyotes 5-4 loss. But this is Terrence Ross from Bally Sports and their coverage in the postgame show last night. And because he's kind of the leader of this bench mob, he had 13 last night and led all bench scores, even though he didn't shoot that great. He was 2 of 9 from 3, but still had 13 points. This might be the reason why the Suns get back to the NBA Finals. Here's T. Ross on Bally Sports.
To join up with Terrence Ross, who had 13 points for the Suns off the bench. And for the second straight game, Terrence, it's the Suns bench kind of rescuing this team in the fourth quarter. Not all the shots were falling, certainly in the first half, but you guys never lost your confidence.
No. The biggest thing for us is just playing together, staying together, trying to figure out each other's games, getting in the rhythm. And I think we're starting to build on that. You know, the last couple of games for the bench has been really good. We made it an emphasis to go out there and maintain the game or elevate it. So, you know, we're doing a good job of that. So we just have to find a way to bring that every night.
Well, speak about elevation. Your elevation is still okay. You almost had a dunk on Kester, so that was good. But you love to go left and get to the elbow. CP likes to go right and get to the elbow. You like to go left and get the elbow and just elevate right there. Is your midi game something that's been overlooked in your career?
I think so. A lot of people knew me first off as just a dunker. And then people start, recognizing me for a three-point shooter. But, I have a nice mid-range game. And here, helps me because, they shoot a lot of mid-range here. So it helped me feel more comfortable to step into my shot, be comfortable, just play my game. And it's coming along well.
I know it's not official, and I know you can't break any news, but what is the feeling in the locker room right now? Kevin Durant traveling with the team, the hopes, the expectations are that Suns fans could see him on Wednesday. What's happening in the locker room? What kind of euphoria is in there?
I'm not going to lie to you. I didn't even know that he was going to come back on Wednesday. I know he's getting closer and closer, but, you know, with KD, you know, he's trying to get right, get healthy. So, you know, you let him do him. But if he can come back Wednesday, that'll be great.
I'll tell you what. I mean, does it seem like, for you, approaching every single game, whether you're, you know, used to be a starter, whether you're coming off the bench, whether KD's there or not, do you ever approach the game differently, or are you just trying to do it the same every single day? You've been doing this for a long time now.
Yeah. No, I've been trying to do it the same, man. The biggest thing for me is just getting in a routine. Once I find a routine that works for me and keeps me in rhythm, that's how I approach the game every time. So I found something, you know, early on, and it's working for me.
Well, you can light up an arena with your three-point shooting, and you certainly light up our broadcast with that smile. Great to have you on board, Terrence, and maybe we'll all find out on Wednesday.
Yeah, we'll find out.
If you'll be joined out there by Kevin Durant.
Yeah, he'll text us, I'm sure, and let us know. Yeah.
Yes.
Are you talking about Terrence? For sure. Fingers crossed, fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly.
Not me.
He doesn't have our cell phone number.
Thank
like
you,
book. Yeah. All right, Terrence, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks for watching ESPN on Bally Sports for letting us just rip that off. The reason why I wanted to play you the whole thing is you can tell Terrence Ross getting more and more comfortable. If you don't know the story, buyout. So that means Orlando doesn't want you anymore, really any team, but in this case it was Orlando, doesn't want you anymore because they don't want to pay you and they want their younger players to get more reps for two reasons. One, they want to tank and lose on purpose. But two, since they know they're not going anywhere, why not have better chance to evaluate the young guys when you already know Terrence Ross? So they don't want to pay him. At the same time, Terrence Ross doesn't want to play for the Magic anymore if they're going to quit on purpose. But he's earned that money that's coming to him later on in the season, so why should he give it up? So you negotiate a buyout. We'll give you this percentage of what we owe you in order to let you go away and go sign with who you want. So you get the chance to win, so you want to leave, but you don't want to lose your money, so you take as much as you can get. He signs with the Suns and has immediately delivered a nice punch off the bench, but he needed to learn defense because he got lazy on defense in Orlando, and he's done better here. The reason why I'm so jacked up, and granted, they just beat Utah. Utah right now, let me cheat and look up the standings. Utah is two games out of the playoff now, and they're a long ways off from the Phoenix Suns, about six games out of the Suns. So they're dead. They're almost dead, right? So it's not like, wow, we just beat it. Okay, you beat a team on your third game in four nights at Elevation who are still competing like crazy. It's still a good win. But the way they did it, to get this bench going, if KD does indeed, as they talked about, come back on Wednesday, you have a bench right now that is Campaign, Terrence Ross, either Torrey Craig or Ish Wainwright, depending on who's going to be at the four. You got TJ Warren at the three. You got Busy at the center position. And then look at Jock Landale. These are Jock Landale's last three games. 17 points against Embiid in Philly. Well, it was really Biombo a lot against Embiid, but 17 points against Philly, but only two. No, excuse me, 17 points against Sacramento. Sorry, I butchered that. 2 points against Philly, and then it did not play at all yesterday. It's called DNPCD, did not play by coach's decision. So just two games ago, he's lighting up Sacramento for 17 points. Now he doesn't even get to play. I'm not ripping Monty. I'm just talking about the depth of this defense, or excuse me, of this bench. And you heard Terrence Ross say at the beginning of that, as we're getting to know each other, as we're getting more comfortable. That's a team, and I'm being serious, Campaign at the one, I'll say Ross at the two, Warren at the three. You could flip-flop those if you wanted. Torrey Craig or Ish Wainwright at the four, Busy at the five. Jock Landale and Damian Lee coming off the bench for the bench, if you get what I'm talking. Those seven guys, that's almost a playoff team. If you put those guys in the East together, there's a chance they could try to, they could come close to making the playoffs. That's how good the Suns bench is. And that's what they lost really in the Mikal Bridges-Cam Johnson trade. They lost that depth. this is a big if. Kevin Durant has become injury prone, or at least gets injured a lot. I think it means he's injury prone. I'm sure that's a phrase that you're not allowed to say in the NBA, and I'm a terrible person, and KD would take that as if I'm giving him a personal attack, I bet. But look at the team. What was the hole after the trade? Depth, therefore the bench. Now look at it. Yes, you limit your rotation a lot in the playoffs. You usually go down to about a seven-man rotation, maybe 7.5. But with this, I'm fired up and thrilled that that's a championship lineup to go Paul and Booker, Paul and Okogie 1-2, Booker and KD at 3-4, and then Ayton at the center position. And if Ayton gets into foul trouble, you've got Busy and you've got Landale to come in. If you have any issues at the 4 or you want to play small, you could go Ish or Torrey Craig at the center. So whatever Monty wants to do, I can go big, I could go small. I'm always going to be able to score. And I don't have to worry about Ayton's roller coaster career of one game being focused, one game being not, because I've got so many weapons. It's only about chemistry. Now, I'm not saying they're going to win a championship. I have no idea. I don't know if they're going to develop the offensive and defensive chemistry in this limited window. But are you not jacked up about Wednesday? By the way, Minnesota had a huge win last night. They won at Sacramento 119-115. That's an enormous win. And Minnesota is now only a game and a half behind the Suns for home court advantage. The Suns are only a half game ahead of the Clippers in the Western Conference standings right now. So, and they won. Like, last night was not a great night for the Suns. Sacramento lost, so that's good. But Denver won, Clippers won, Minnesota won, New Orleans won, and Dallas won. So you look up and down those standings. The number 3 seed Sacramento, they lost. Just about everybody else won. And Memphis won tonight. I know you're going, wait, what? They're at home against Orlando, okay? So they won tonight. Well, that lineup there, the Suns had to win to keep that half-game lead. Kind of draw a line between the 4 and 5 seed. Suns, 40-35 right now. They're the 4 seed. Clippers, 40-36. With one extra loss, that equals half a game. That's all that separates Suns going on the road in the first round and the Suns having home court advantage at least in one round. And Minnesota is only a game and a half. Golden State right now, it's crazy. They are in the play-in tournament. So they haven't made the regular part of the playoffs yet. If they lose their last two games in the play-in tournament, they're out of the playoffs. They don't even get to go. Yet, they're only two games away from passing the Suns and taking home court advantage. That's how nuts it is in the Western Conference. But I'm just really jacked up about how good the bench looks, because there's two things I'm concerned about: bench and defense. Defensive chemistry. Not defense overall, but just the chemistry when KD comes back. And we should have enough games where the Suns are able to develop that chemistry, really bond in that first round of the playoffs, and every round's going to be brutal. This is awesome. This is, yes, it was Utah, but it's exactly what we wanted to see, and they've played really well their last two games. And now, Wednesday night at home against Minnesota, and probable Kevin Durant and DeAndre Ayton both in the lineup. All right, coming up next, I got some NFL. Opening day is coming up in 2 days, so I can't wait to talk to you about Diamondbacks. But you know what today is. It is Tuesday, and therefore, it's time for Town Hall Tuesday. Next on Doug Franz Unplugged.
If you got a second, I want to tell you about my heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical company, and it's Parker & Sons. Now, I say my, I don't own a piece of it, but it's the people that I believe in more than I can even explain to you. Family owned and operated, but it's also a little different because in a sense, the technicians are their own operators as well. They are allowed and encouraged to hand out their own business cards. And if you feel like you've had such a good experience, you don't have to call the main number anymore and tell them, hey, I just need a plumber to come out. No. You can always have the same air conditioning specialist if you want, if you really feel a connection to the guy that you have, because they can then develop a bank of business of people that trust them. Well, the only way you're going to earn that is to be a trustworthy person in the first place. And that's the only types of people that Parker & Sons hires. Trust certified technicians that have passed a background check and a drug test before they ever step into your home. That's Parker & Sons. And that's why they're the heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical specialist for my family. That's 602, the number two, then REPAIR for Parker & Sons. Rosati Sports Pub in Chandler. It's on Ray and McQueen. Sounds like a sports bar. What's the difference? You walk in and they actually have games on TV with the sound on. How many times do you walk into a supposed sports bar and they've got loud music on or somebody playing live or some kind of trivia game going on and you're there to watch the game? If you're like me, a simple guy, give me my pizza, give me my wings, give me my cold beer, and make sure I can hear the Suns and D-backs, then you want Rosati Sports Pub in Chandler. All members of the Unplugged Army, welcome. Rosati Sports Pub, give me the game.
Oh yay, oh yay, it's time to call a town hall meeting.
Very well done, very well done. The spinny wheel is here. If you're listening to Doug Franz Unplugged presented by Whirlwind Golf Club at Wild Horse Pass, we have a new little transition right there for Town Hall Tuesday on the video portion of the podcast. If you listen to the podcast and you haven't watched it yet, love to have you every weekday morning at 8 o'clock on WTSMTV.com. You can watch it on your phone, you can watch it on your tablet, or you can have it pulled up right on your computer. And then as soon as the boss walks by, you can minimize it. You don't have to worry about it. It's easy. You can mute me if you have to because the boss walks by. Whatever you need to do, please be a part of the Unplugged Army. Watch or listen. Wherever you get your podcasts is the place to listen and the place to watch every weekday morning from 8 to 10 and later in the day when we put it up on the stream on WTSMTV.com. So what is Town Hall Tuesday? You tweet me at Unplugged Doug. You post something on my on Instagram to me or message me on Instagram at Doug Franz Unplugged, or you send me an email. Doug@DougFranzUnplugged.com. And by doing that, I take all of them. Sometimes I edit it for brevity a little bit to make sure Town Hall Tuesday flows pretty fast. And then I hand them over to the bosses, Jeff Weir, production director. It's Jeff Weir Production. He has a big sign on his door. Nobody else has a sign on his door except for Jeff. So Jeff, sign guy. And then there's CEO Chris. And he doesn't have a sign either. None of us have signs. The sales suit doesn't have signs either. But there's one guy, Jeff Weir Production, that has a sign. Jeff Weir Production, what's our first question? Our first statement.
This is from the better half.
Okay.
Just wanted to say love your content.
Oh.
Good luck in the second round this week.
Oh, that was cool. He sent that before going into the second round that I didn't do so well in. So thank you. He spells better half, B-E-T-T-O-R. So I think that's kind of entertaining, as in betting. And no, my bracket died with Texas, which I'm still mad about. Miami goes on a 23-11 run, and Texas starts jacking up terrible, terrible shots. Now, Coach Terry actually just signed a 5-year extension and the interim tag was removed for him to be the Texas head coach. Let me be the first one to say how much I agree with that decision. I'm not going to judge him by the last 11 minutes of his interim career and say, you know what, you can't hack it. Because what about his other big games that he won this year? Take the whole sample size and then remind yourself he never even had a training camp as the full head coach. So he definitely deserves it. Good decision, Texas. But, Coach, that loss was on you, and you wrecked my bracket. What's next, Jeff?
This one's from JG. When is the truth going to come out about Kugler, Keem, and the Cardinals?
Steve Keim. Yeah, that's a good question. I bet it never does, and here's why. Since it happened, if you don't know what JG is referring to, and I hope it's not Jonathan Gannon that was that was tweeting the show with that. There was a situation before that Mexico City Monday night game in which Sean Kugler was told to leave. He was escorted out of the country that night, missed the game. But then speculation came out, and I don't know whether it's founded or unfounded, but speculation came out that some people were trying to claim they think that there was a confusion between whether it's Kugler or Keim and what happened, where one woman claims she was inappropriately groped or touched or spoken to, and there's Mexican authorities involved, and he just left town. And with all that, I think when something happens on foreign soil, when the NFL does everything they can to keep stuff a secret anyway, and then you have it be on foreign soil, I think they're going to keep this quiet forever and try to pay somebody off and have it all go away. I hope somebody's ever held accountable, but in situations like this, I always pray for justice. I'm never going to know what happened, and I think we won't either. So let's just hope if there was something that legitimately happened to this woman, she gets exactly what she deserves to be able to overcome it as best as possible. And if you can ever overcome it, because I don't know to the extent of what happened. And at the same time, whoever is the guilty party, if they were guilty of something, I hope they get what they deserve. What's next?
This one's at Nico Knows Best. And I know exactly what he's referring to.
Okay.
Dang, bro, looking like Bieber back in the day. LOL.
Okay. My wife in cohorts with Mark McClune of CBS 5 Arizona's Family, posting that picture of me high school senior year, the individual. You have the team photo and then you have the individual photos and me with my curls. We never called it a mullet back then. We just said curls. And I still kind of reject the term mullet, because if you actually have a brush and the hair was curled, is that really a mullet? To me, the mullet was more, the frosting on top, but just that straight into a ugly rat tail kind of thing, whatever that was. But yeah, it was, so many people had it. That's the way it was. And you know what? If I could do it all over again, if I had the choice now of this or the mullet, I'll take the mullet. Absolutely. If I could have my hair back and you forced me to wear a man bun, fine. I don't care. I would rather look like a doofus with too much hair than a doofus without it. What's next, Jeff?
All right, we've got General Mike, and he's got a very interesting take on the NBA challenges.
Okay.
So bear with me here. For the NBA replay challenge issue, how about do something similar to the NHL? If you get a challenge wrong in hockey, you get a 2-minute penalty. With the NBA, how about for every challenge, if you lose that challenge, the other team gets a certain number of technical free throws. The number of shots is based on the number of challenges you've missed. You'd still need a limit, either on total or incorrect challenges, just to keep some team that is getting blown out from making a mockery of it and challenging every play. Make it so that the challenge option is more available, but punitive enough so the games don't grind to a halt from a million challenges. What do you think?
Okay, number one, I've always liked, my opinion is you get unlimited challenges every time you're right. And as soon as you're wrong, you lose your challenges. I think it's dumb in the NFL. I challenge, I get it right. I challenge again, I get it right. They say, you know what? We feel bad that you've been challenging twice and gotten them right, and now you're out of challenges. Here, we'll give you one more. So I get a third now. Okay, I challenge again on my third one. You're wrong again, ref. I'm right three straight times. And you know what they say? Well, congratulations on being right three straight times. It doesn't matter, though. You're still out of challenges. It's not my fault I had to use them. You're terrible at your job. Why do I lose challenges? In the NBA, it doesn't matter if you're right. So you only get one, and when you use it, it's over. See, I think that's dumb. Now, your idea, when you said make a mockery of it, you know who I thought of? Greg Popovich. I could easily see. Could you imagine Greg Popovich challenging something for the seventh time? And now this is the entertainment business of some guys up there. Free throw one. Free throw two. Keep listening. I have five more to do here. Free throw three. Okay, I'm not going to go through seven. But you see what I mean? I mean, that would be awful. So I don't like that system. I know you said there'd be a limit, but I don't even – in order for it to get punitive, it has to be boring. So you're a good friend, General Mike. I don't like it. What's next?
Okay, we've got one. Hey, Doug, I couldn't agree more with what you said about orange juice. I hardly ever get sick because of some good old OJ. I also think to drink Airborne and Vitamin C Edition – and it helps me a lot. Finally, someone other than myself is saying this, Doug. You're the man.
That's awesome. Who wrote that one? I didn't hear who you said wrote it.
Joe Sue.
So, Jay, listen, thank you. You're with me. Listen, again, if you didn't hear it earlier this week, maybe it was yesterday, maybe it was last week, it's very simple. I don't get sick. And you say, well, how do you not get sick? I don't get sick because it's very easy. The orange juice kills anything that that's already inside, and the alcohol makes a wall that it can't penetrate. So, therefore, it either doesn't get through the alcohol wall, or by the time it gets beaten up so much, that's why you drink dark beer. Yellow beer doesn't protect you. But the dark beer fights everything off, and it's so weak, and then the orange juice comes in and kills it. That's what happens. That's why I'm the picture of health. What's next?
At Josh Rogerson 79, are you going to be doing interviews with the Arizona Rattlers?
That's a fantastic question. Keep this between us, okay? Don't let anybody know what I'm going to say, because somebody's going to turn this and try to be a jerk. I have known the head coach, Kevin Guy, since, let me do the math, 2002. We've been really close friends since 2002. So I know him extremely well. Babysat his oldest daughter, Alexa, when she was like 7, 9 months. She's now graduating from U of A soon, but I got to tell you, that kid, I've never babysat another crier like that. Alexa cried all night. Like all she wanted was her mother. She did not want Jennifer, me, or me at all. Cried the whole time. I felt so bad. I'm being totally serious. What do you do with a kid that cries for 4 straight hours? So I just said, all right, we just left her on the floor. Just made sure she didn't get in any wires, because there's nothing we could do. Sorry, Alexa. I hope you're not mad at us for doing that. So anyway, I have been emailing the media relations guy. I've sent about 5 emails so far, and he keeps, and about 4 days after every email I send, he emails me back and says, yeah, I'm working on this. I'm going to get to this today. So my answer is, I think so. I hope that's an okay answer. I think so. All right. What's next?
At Robert CAZ. Great to hear that at Chris Cartman will be on this Wednesday. Looking forward to it. Hopefully he has info on finding of Ray Anderson at
Wait,
Unplugged Army.
Is it finding or firing?
Oh, that's firing.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's dark in here, Doug.
For those of you that don't know, Jeff Weir Production is a vampire. He like sits in the dark all the time. And then what's even funnier is when he really wants you to be left alone, he shuts his door. And the reason why I laugh is there's 2 or 3 people here. There's sales suit, CEO Chris, and me, and yet he shuts the door. Like, wait, are one of the 3 of us that big of a problem? And yet he's got his headphones on, so even if his door's open, he doesn't hear us anyway. Or he does that selective hearing like we're married, and he doesn't hear us because he's got his headphones in. So I'm laughing at that. And then he says, oh, I can't read. Well, it's dark. That's why you can't read. Yes, tomorrow at 9 o'clock, and this is news to Jeff Weir Production because he's going to be the one responsible to get him. But Chris Cartman will join us from Sun Devil Source, so we're excited to have him. There's so much to talk about. The spring game is coming up. Bobby Hurley's contract extension, the end of college football, Willie Bloomquist doing very well, and yet Bobby Hurley losing a lot of players to the transfer portal, so a lot of ASU to cover. And then just another plug, tomorrow night I'm going to be recording an interview with Nick Pecoro, the Arizona Republic beat reporter for the Diamondbacks. So we'll play that for you Thursday morning, which will lead into, of course, Thursday night's opening day at the Dodgers. What's next? Jeff Weir Production.
At Phil Rules W. To some NASCAR talk with Steve. If he wants a wingman for McCullum Motors moments on at WTSM-TV, let me know.
That's pretty good. If you didn't hear that, so every Monday I'm on 1580 The Fanatic, and I'd love for you to listen to that, the main event, Steve and Izzy. That's at 1 o'clock, but today we're doing it because I wasn't able to make yesterday. And then Fridays, we'll always have Steve McCullum on this show. Well, Steve is very, very knowledgeable about NASCAR, so I suggested he does a NASCAR show with us on WTSM-TV, and he said, absolutely, I love that idea, and now Phil votes yes. So we now have officially 2 thumbs, well, 3, because I agree with it, so 3 thumbs up on doing a NASCAR show here on WTSM-TV. Just so you know, you don't want me doing that show. OK, Because if I'm doing the NASCAR show, it would be, he turned left, he turned left, he turned left. Now he needs new tires because he kept turning left. He turned left. He turned, and that would be it. And I don't think that would be very entertaining. Just a guess. I don't think it would be entertaining. Okay, what's next?
We've got U of A, JC. I've seen dumpster fires better than ASU's arena. Ha ha ha. At Unplugged Doug is on fire on CBS right now. Good stuff, Doug. Jacket looking a little tight, though.
Okay, so that was me. We were started talking about ASU, and I went off on Dr. Crow's ridiculous statement. I mean, absolutely ridiculous statement that you can win in Wells Fargo Arena, Desert Financial Arena, whoever we're going to sell it to tomorrow. That place is a dumpster fire. It's a horrible arena. And to even remotely try to act like it's okay is, it's almost reckless. I mean, it's just that asinine of a statement. And I'll keep referring to this like crazy. I look at Dr. Crow and think of what he's done for this state, not just that university, this state. I mean, there are a lot of states that haven't benefited from a person in charge, as well as we've benefited as a state from Dr. Crow being in charge of Arizona State. You have to give this man a ton of credit. If I'm the Board of Regents, I would move on from him. And I know that how ridiculous that sounds. He has destroyed athletics so much, and I'm talking about the integrity of athletics. To sit beside every coach in a one-on-one meeting and try to tell them the level of integrity you expect from those coaches while you stood by and either were complicit to the Ray Anderson, Herm Edwards scheme or denied that it was happening, one or the other, is such an atrocious leader to do that. I would move on from that man. I think it's terrible what he's done. Now you're saying something like this about this arena? It's like, have you ever been anywhere outside of Maricopa County? You can't say that if you've been to other arenas. It was a ridiculous statement. And about the coat, I hate sport coats. I hate them. And I'm sucking up because that's what is expected. And I found that one in the back of the closet. And no, it didn't have a lot of room in it, but I didn't know you could tell. So thanks. What's next?
All right, we've got at Joel Dude. At Unplugged Doug needs a tailor, but he speaks the truth. At Mark McClune managing it like a pro. This is going to be fun and new. Hashtag Final Four.
Okay. It does kind of go around a little. So, since I got back-to-back rip jobs on the coat being a little tight, I didn't do it because you're ripping me. I don't care if you rip me. However, I felt the same way. So, I stood on the scale the other day, and I was up to 247, and I thought, okay, that's getting a little obnoxious. So, I got on the Peloton last night, but there's a story behind that. So I decide I'm getting on the Peloton. We had a power outage in Goodyear. It's 2023. Come on. I don't know what happened, but we had a power outage in Goodyear, and it knocked me out of the memory or whatever of the Peloton. So the account is under Jennifer's name. So I call Peloton, tell them what happened, and this lady, I realize we live in a politically correct society now, so she didn't think this was very funny. And to be honest, my wife makes more money than I do right now. But for 20 some odd years of this marriage, she wasn't working. So when I'm talking to this lady says, well, sir, I just want to set expectations. I'm going to pass you off to our accounts department, and they're going to work really hard at resolving your issue. However, since it's your wife's name that's on the account and not yours, they might not be able to resolve this for security reasons. I just wanted to set expectations. And then I said, well, ma'am, I totally appreciate that, and I'd like to set expectations with you. Those expectations are the fact that without me, my wife doesn't have this bike, doesn't have money, and therefore we will get this resolved in my favor. Thank you. She was fired up. Now, I was just kind of screwing around because of me being the breadwinner for so long, even though now, you know, honey, can I have a loan? But she was fired up, and she goes, sir, I don't think that's appropriate. I am sure you're, and she starts giving me a speech. And I said, are you going to transfer me now? And she goes, yes. Like, I didn't have the heart to tell her, relax, I'm screwing around. I like my wife a little more than you do, okay? 26 years. 26 years! All right, what's next, Jeff?
All right, we've got one more. This is from at Farmer Braxton. I'm currently first in your Unplugged Army Challenge, but I lost my champion in Zaga.
Oh.
So that will be short-lived.
You know what? I have... Oh, look at that! Jeff Weir Production just done with Town Hall Tuesday. I have to admit, I haven't looked at my my bracket, or I haven't looked at the Unplugged Army Challenge, totally being a jerk because I don't want to see it. After Texas lost.
You and me both.
I don't want to see whatever happened to it. That's because, well, you say that, Jeff, because you have the Vols, like, winning the next four championships all in one bracket. That was why it was kind of silly. No, you're not leading now. Now the winner right now is Heckling Age G is our winner, but he also has Gonzaga as the champion. So Hooked on Phonics, it's without the E for Phoenix. Hooked on Phonics is in second place, but he has UConn as the winner. So there's a great chance that he wins. Listen to this. This shows you how well all of us did. First place right now has Gonzaga as a winner, so they're probably dead. Why somebody would go R Hawk, I hope that didn't mean Red Hawk, because you're banned if it's Red Hawk. He has Alabama. Desert Rat 1 has Tennessee. Who would be so dumb to pick Tennessee in anything? Like, in reading. Like, if I'm ranking the top 50 states in reading, I'm not, you know, Tennessee... 48, maybe? Because they all read in the dark. That's why. from now on, it's Tennessee Jeff. Jeff Weir Production is funny, but it's long. Tennessee Jeff. EJH, Alabama, that's number five. Number six, Bourbon Dreams, Kansas. Number seven, Christopher, Arizona. ESPN fan 2765, in other words, code for I don't know how to change my ESPN name, is Alabama. Tied for eighth, Sun Devils fan, Purdue. And number 10,
Grandmeer!
So I'm in 10th place, and I got Texas. So the next person in line that still has a champ, nobody. Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. So we had an official total of 67 people. 67 people joined in the Doug Franz Unplugged Challenge. One has Final Four team or has a champion still alive. We're not very good. Let me see our group. Our group rank. We are at the Unplugged Army, the official Unplugged Army. You want to know how smart we are in college basketball? We're in 8,442nd place as a group. 8,000th place. Now let's see what the top group is. We average 140 points less than first place. So as a group, the Unplugged Army has to get better next year. We got to collaborate somehow. I don't know how we're going to do that, but we've got to get better. That's it for Town Hall Tuesday. Do me a favor. All you have to do, tweet me at Unplugged Doug. Post something in Instagram, Doug Franz Unplugged. Send me an email, Doug@DougFranzUnplugged.com. And that's how you get involved with Town Hall Tuesday to help us entertain. Coming up next, we got, how much time is it? Oh, I got 45 minutes. Man, I still got Coyotes, I still got NFL, and I still got baseball to talk about. So we're going to, and we got versus Vegas. We're going to be like lightning, but you've got to know what's going on from a Diamondbacks, and yes, I'm being totally serious, a Cincinnati Reds standpoint. This is hysterical, and it's next on Doug Franz Unplugged, presented by Whirlwind Golf Club at Wild Horse Pass. A couple days away. Opening day coming up Thursday morning, in which Thursday evening for the Diamondbacks, Thursday morning for us as a city because of the fact that it'll start on the East Coast. I'm jacked up. I'm a huge baseball nut. For those of you who don't know, I took my wife, Jennifer, who the Peloton doesn't think I love, to the Baseball Hall of Fame on our honeymoon. That was our honeymoon, to the Baseball Hall of Fame, because I wanted her to know, this is what you just married. And we went to four baseball games on our honeymoon. My chair locked. There you go. I like the chair to recline a little. And when it locks, it messes up my back. So sorry I was doing this number, shaking around a little bit. So I love the game. Can't wait for every season. And last night, there's a little bit of attention on a meaningless game that I thought was kind of important to talk about. Cleveland scored two runs in the seventh. If you're not familiar with this, it happens every year. The Diamondbacks, I don't know if they pay the team straight out, like here's a fee for coming, or if baseball convinces the team to do it or how it works, I admit. Maybe I'll try to find that out. But Cleveland was at Chase Field last night, and then they're here this afternoon. So you have two sprint that are still spring training games, but they're good run-throughs for the staff at Chase Field. And it gives the Diamondbacks an opportunity to play spring training players at Chase Field. Now, there's a thing called the Structs, okay? That's cool scouting term for the Instructional League. So they have games at Chase Field all the time with different minor leaguers that nobody knows about, okay? But it's still a great opportunity for the minor league players to not play in a ballpark that holds 4,000 people or something, to play in a big ballpark, get used to their home stadium, and have a game. So the Diamondbacks give up two runs in the seventh. They're losing 6-0. Their starters are out of the game. And it's all of the kids that are going to be coming up in the future. De Los Santos, who goes 1-for-1 in the game. There is Lawler, who had a huge 2 RBI base hit. He goes 1-for-1. I shouldn't say base hit. Well, it was a base hit, but I mean 2-run homer. So he helps lead the comeback. So a lot of the young guys who aren't making the squad are who led the team to the victory. Now, usually that really doesn't matter. It's still a spring training win in which your starters lost. Really, the starters are down 6-0. And you're only a couple days away from the beginning of the season. So you kind of go, okay, are we ready or are we not? But it's not the end of the world because it's still spring. But when you see the kids play that well at the end, it does give you a little bit more hope for what is coming down the pike in 24 and 25. That might sound stupid. We haven't even thrown the first pitch of 2023, and I'm already talking about 24 and 25. I love the young guys. If you want to jump on this bandwagon for the Diamondbacks' future, I'm with you. I know some of you will rip it. Say, Doug, you know how long I've lived here? You know how long I have heard the Diamondbacks are going to be good? I'm sick of going to be good. Okay, I get it. But I haven't told you that before. Not that I'm important. I admit that. I am your commander-in-chief of the Unplugged Army. But I realize I'm just another talking head with an opinion when I say the same thing you've heard over and over again. But I tell you now, I mean it. I think they're going to be good in 2024 and 2025. I'm not going to guarantee World Series trips or anything like that because the Dodgers are still the Dodgers. The Giants have plenty of money whenever they choose to use it. I don't know where the Padres are getting their money from, but clearly, and let's face it, right now they care more about winning than the Diamondbacks do. And Denver's a very good sports town. If the Rockies ever even remotely cared, they would be good. We're in a very difficult spot. So I'm not going to make wild guarantees of massive amounts of playoff success. But I will tell you, I think the Diamondbacks are going to be good next year. The reason why I'm not jumping up and down for this year, and there are some people that think the Diamondbacks are a wonderful dark horse for a chance to be a winner. I'm not going to go crazy. Because Ketel Marte has been, in my opinion, lazy for 3 years. And nobody wants to take on Ketel Marte because he's a very nice man. I can separate it. I think you're a very nice man, and I think you're an unprofessional player. Because you don't get overweight if you're a professional. You don't stop pushing yourself for success if you're professional. I look at him and I respect him for knowing when they had a center fielder hurt years ago. He said, fine, I'll play center field. I'll do whatever it takes. That shows you he's a selfless person, but it doesn't change the fact that once he signed for just under $100 million, the production went straight down while the waist started to appear more and more like a guy on television with a sport coat that doesn't fit. Okay? I'm sorry. I'm not a big fan of that. Then there's Mad Bum. Great. Glad you got your $17 million. If somebody wants to pay me $17 million to do a talk show, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes, even if I'm a terrible host. If somebody wants to pay me $17 million to be a rocket scientist, I'm going to say yes, even though we'll all die as soon as I put different fuels together. I'm going to say yes. It's your bad that you want to pay me. But the point is, you, if I got Mad Bum on the Hill and I got Ketel Marte and I'm counting on them to get me to the playoffs, I don't believe them. I don't believe in them at all. And I think they're bad enough to make it hard to overcome what they could do. Now, Ketel Marte supposedly in shape. Supposedly everything's going to be good. Supposedly Mad Bum is finally, for the first time, really gotten control of a good changeup. And he feels like it's going to be better for him. And he's starting to trust it more. These are all great things. With those two men, I'm in the I'll believe it when I see it category. The young guys, I believe it. I believe it. And that's why I want one more year, because maybe Mad Bum and Ketel Marte won't be here by that time. I hope I'm wrong. I hope Ketel Marte and Mad Bum has a great season. If they do, then guess what? This really is a playoff team already. Yeah. That's what I think. Going to talk NFL in a minute, but I got to tell you this hilarious story about the Cincinnati Reds. And I know you're going to think this is crazy. Right now, out of all the people that are in the building at WTSM TV, and I don't know if Sales Suit is here yet, but out of all the people that's here at WTSM TV, I believe I'm the oldest one. I'm the oldest human being right now that's here. There's a player for the Cincinnati Reds on the payroll that's older than me. The Reds, yes. Let me give you the top four highest paid players for the Cincinnati Reds this year. Joey Votto will make $25 million this year. Good money if you can get it. Mike Moustakas will make $22 million. He's number two. Will Myers, the longtime Padre, former stud of the Rays farm system, he'll make $6 million this year. The fourth highest paid player for the Reds is 53 years old. You might have heard of him. Ken Griffey Jr. When they signed him at the turn of the century, they gave him a 9-year, $111 million contract. But in order to afford him, they deferred payments all the way through till 2024. They've slashed all of their salary because the Reds have the worst ownership group, probably in sports, now that Robert Sarver's gone. Just a terrible, the Knicks are pretty bad. But they have a terrible ownership group who actually one time said the fans shouldn't be upset because where are they going to go? Well, like there's another major league team 5 minutes away and they're going to start supporting them. No, they'll just stop supporting you, idiot. But anyway, they deferred the payments all the way through 2024. Griffey Jr. at 53 years old will make $3.5 million this year to not play for the Reds. And since they slashed all their payroll, he's now the fourth highest paid player on the team. That entertains me a lot. All right, coming up next, we got a lot of NFL to talk about. I want to get the Coyotes still. And we've still got versus Vegas. Man, how am I going to get this in? This is awesome. Doug Franz Unplugged, always packed. Presented by Whirlwind Golf Club at Wild Horse Pass on WTSFTV.com. Doug Franz Unplugged, thanks for being a part of it here on WTSMTV.com. I'm jacked up to do this. We've got a lot to get to, and I hope you don't mind that I'm willing to do this. I think this is a benefit of what we're doing and the fact that now I have help. So some of you that are like a little frustrated, Doug Franz Unplugged not coming out by 6 a.m. anymore. I'm still working through some different things. I have some ideas. I still want to keep getting better. We're getting the podcast out by 11 a.m. now. I think we can do a little better, but I have other ideas that are a little bit further down the road that might get it out much further or much earlier than that. So please don't leave the Unplugged Army. But one of the benefits of being here on WTSM TV is, as I've been on the air live today between 8 and 10 every weekday morning, something happened over at the Biltmore in which today's the NFC Day to Talk, and Jonathan Gannon, the head coach of the Cardinals, spoke to the media. Well, it's been tweeted out by a lot of different people, and we have access to it that I wouldn't be able to get you if I was doing the podcast at its normal time, and CEO Chris has been working on it. The negative is I have no idea what he's about to say. So you're going to get the raw reaction unprepared while I listen with you. But here is Jonathan Gannon speaking to the media at the Biltmore.
Yeah, I mean, just since I've been here, you know, talking with Michael, he, like I said, I think, you know, way back when, he wanted, that was very clear that he asked, I want a fresh set of eyes on everything that we're doing from an operations standpoint, a football standpoint. And we've made some big time changes already. I'm not going to get into too much of it, but, you know, food, weight room, facilities, contracts, Michael's been fantastic. I mean, he really has. And he came in my office the other day and he says, I want, you know, technology. He wanted that talked about and upgraded. And we had a couple meetings with the head of departments and we said, hey, we need this, this, and this. We really don't need this. And he's pulled the trigger on all of it. So I love where we're at right now, and Michael's been excellent with Monty and I, and everything that I said that I felt like we wanted or needed has come to fruition, so really like where we're at with that.
Well, I got a lot to say about that. Jeff, could you help me on something I always, since we just for those of you that don't understand, we're always allowed to air anything we want, but there's a way that you do it to say courtesy of, because, you know, obviously I'm not there getting the sound, so it's rude for me to just hijack something without giving somebody a free plug. Jeff, where did we get that from?
It was Phoenix Cardinals podcast.
Okay, Phoenix Cardinals podcast. So thanks, guys, for that. This is a big deal here. Now, I want to take it with a grain of salt, however. If you saw the man that was standing above Jonathan Gannon in the sport coat, that man's name is Mark Dalton. He is the media czar of the Arizona Cardinals. Give him a ton of credit as a great PR man who can take any negative situation and spin it well. But at the same time, make no mistake, if you aren't talking Cardinals in a way that he approves of, he doesn't approve of you. So, I mean, he runs the city with an iron fist, and it's something that you should know as a fan of the Arizona Cardinals. Well, it's not like Jonathan Gannon's going to sit there and say, you know, actually, all the negative stuff that's been reported about Michael Bidwell, it's all true. Yeah, we're really, really behind, and I don't think we're going to win for 3 or 4 years, but I'm hoping I can pull the Cardinals out of the Stone Ages and fix everything. Okay, he's not going to say that. Yet, I've liked everything Jonathan Gannon has said so far, so I'm not going to give him the benefit of the doubt yet, but I'm going to pay attention in a more objective way. I think that's a good way to say it. What he's probably referring to, and again, I don't have the question, but I don't need it because I think I know what this is talking about. If you remember about 2 weeks ago, the NFL Players Association released its survey of all 32 teams in a bunch of different categories. And they say they're doing it for other free agents. So free agents know where they should strongly consider. Now, obviously, money's money. Whoever pays you the most. Taxes are important, too, whether you knew that. If you play for Seattle, if you play for the Titans, if you play for the Bucks, Jaguars, or Dolphins, and Cowboys, Texans. I think I got everybody. If you play for any of the teams I just mentioned, you don't have any state income tax. If you play for a California team, New York, or a New York team, or the two New, well, there's only one New York team technically, Buffalo, or the two New Jersey teams, you get raked over the coals on taxes. So the same amount of money that you make playing for the Tennessee Titans is a lot more money than you'll make if you play for the Giants or Jets. So saying that, they want you to know about the teams beyond the money. Well, it's not like in any way they really care about the owner's feelings. So what do? They release that. So people like me put pressure on their teams. If they really only cared about the player's opinion for free agency, they would only give it to the players. So it's a PR move totally by the Players Association to release that information. But with that survey, the Cardinals were ranked just about dead last in almost every category. Not the trainers. They loved the trainers. But the workout space, the weight room, the facility, the practice facility, the headquarters, the meeting room space, and then most importantly, they ripped the food. And they said that they have to pay for their meals, their dinner. They're the only club in the NFL that made the players pay for their dinner. And if you know what, do me a favor, out of a curveball, Jeff, I know this is asking a lot. Will you get that Mike Bettaniel quote from yesterday for the Miami Dolphins ready for me? This is funny. Think about what we're saying about Michael Bidwill. How cheap Michael Bidwill is that he's the only owner that does this. So every other owner, you could argue all day long whether or not you think billionaires should be buying dinner for millionaires. But most of them feel like, I want you to eat healthy. So if I can control what you're eating at dinner, this is a good thing. So players will order takeout from the team cafeteria, take it home and eat it. And none of them had to pay for it. Whether you think that Michael Bidwill's cheap or not, all you have to know is 31 other teams are doing it this way. Michael Bidwill's saving money. Now, let's make sure we don't think he's the only cheap owner, because Mike McDaniel, head coach of the Dolphins, is a friend of the Shanahan family. He came from San Francisco where Kyle Shanahan was. Well, where he met the Shanahan family is he got a job from Mike Shanahan when Mike Shanahan was the coach of Washington. So since he's coached for Daniel Snyder's team, Mike McDaniel was asked yesterday during his Dolphins media session, what did he think when he found out that Washington could be sold for around $6 billion?
Wow, the organization's worth that much? And, you know, I couldn't get free coffee?
It's okay if you don't have it, Jeff. I'm the one that threw you a curveball. So, but my point on it was just how crazy it is of how cheap Michael Bidwill is looking. Well, now Jonathan Gannon is talking about the way that Michael Bidwill is giving him everything he wants, technology-wise. But did you notice his first one was food? He went immediately to food and said everything's good food-wise. Okay, whatever. All right. But I'm not going to believe Jonathan Gannon yet because everyone's going to talk like that. But I am interested to see, okay, what real tangible changes are made, and will the players off the record talk about it? So that's kind of important. Jeff, let's go to Coyotes before we hit before I hit one more commercial and we go to versus Vegas. Go! Coyotes a loser yesterday. They lost 5-4 to Edmonton. What thrilled me about this is that they were down 4-2 in the third and scored twice in the third against one of the best teams in hockey. I can understand if you've checked out from the Coyotes. I can understand if you don't really care that much about hockey. The reason why I'm dying to talk Coyotes is because of my respect for that, for the players on that team and the coaches. I don't really respect ownership at all. Maybe I will eventually. I don't respect the owners of the Coyotes because when they first took over, by the way, a minority owner was arrested recently for all kinds of different things. So I'm like, what kind of crap is this guy? And I had heard bad things about him to begin with. I'm sure that that's something I'm not supposed to say, but I did, and I'm unplugged. Then this new ownership group, they take over full majority, and one of the first things they do is they stop paying their bills. And then they say, well, it's just part of renegotiating bad contracts that the old regime had. Okay, some of these people are small business owners that made a deal with the Coyotes, and now you want to stiff them and not pay them and then say, well, we're not going to pay you what was promised, so we're going to renegotiate. What you take as business tactics is taking the knees out of good people. So I never respected that. So I'm not a huge fan of the current owners now. But I'm a huge fan of these players. I'm a huge fan of these coaches for the way that they keep fighting right now. It's unbelievable. This is a team that got dumped by the owners. People are being sold off so the Coyotes tank, improve their draft status, and the players just keep trying to win anyway. I love it. And I didn't even realize how crazy it's been this last week. Here's Andre Turney, if you could play Yotes 1 for me, Jeff. Listen to him describe what they've been through and why it's that much more impressive that they only lost by a late goal to one of the best teams in hockey.
Well, he's got a lot of pride and a lot of character. I think the guys are really push hard. The Hell Week is over. I think it was a tough one. You know, 5 games in 7 days with 4 different cities and those kind of opponents. So we'll be good to have a good rest tomorrow. We'll practice on Wednesday. We'll have another day off on Thursday. Like I said, for me, it's always about energy. And we want to give ourselves the best chance to have energy. I think the boys deserve it. They work really hard. They're really proud of them.
Jeff, I'm going to go straight to Yotes too, because I think this is something that, think about this if you're an employer. How often have you started to bail on somebody? And listen, sometimes people deserve it. Sometimes you got to let them go. I'm not denying that at all. But Barrett Hayton, a player that never reached his full potential as a draft pick, struggling most of the season, didn't even get a point until like early December or something like that. And yet now he is flying. He's on a roll, had another 2-goal game yesterday. He's playing brilliant hockey. And yet Andre Tourigny says, we never doubted him.
Inside of our dressing room or coach's room, we never doubt. How many points he has now? Does he cross 40, the 40? 40,
yeah.
Good, because last summer when they were negotiating a contract, I said in management they will make at least 40. So I was a little bit worried at Christmas, but he got it done. So, you know, I believe in HC because he's the kind of guy who works with determination every day. So he works with a purpose. He's focused. He works extremely hard, compete, he does everything right on and off the ice. So he's the kind of guy you want to put on the ice. He's the kind of guy you want him in key situation. He's the kind of guy where you have to throw bone to someone. He's the first guy you think of because he does everything right. So those guys, which if you look in every league, those guys has an extra chance, has an extra opportunity. They're in certain situation, and other guys can sometimes look at them and say, well, why is it always him who has the chance? But look at him 24/7, you will know why.
I love that. And Jeff, I'm going to go right to Yotes 3 in a minute. The reason why I love that quote so much, first of all, with the accent, sometimes it's hard to understand Andre Tourigny. He said Hatesy, which is Barrett Hayton and kind of a sports nickname. If you have a name over 2 syllables or over 1 syllable, you usually shorten it to the beginning. But if you only have a 1 syllable, you lengthen it and add a Y. What's weird is they shortened it to Hates and then added the Y for Hate C, even though you could just go with Hate 10. But that's Barrett Hayton. Here's what's great about that, though. The coaching staff never doubted. And then he even admitted, I told management he will get 40 points. And if you don't know, points is just goals and assists combined. So if you score a goal and an assist, you have 2 points, statistically. And I love that he said that. Is he over 40 yet? Yeah, he is. Okay, good, because I told management he would be. And I was nervous around Christmas. He just absolutely admits that. That's, though, you can tell. Like, the reason why I was so angry when Ray Anderson fired Todd Graham is I admit Todd wasn't doing great. But you should have fired him the year before when he did really poorly. He started to build it back up. So he goes through an entire year knowing his athletic director wants to fire him. And then you expect him to set the world on fire and go to a Rose Bowl, and when he doesn't, you fire him. Why? Because he had management all year against him. This is what Barrett Hayton does when he knows as he's struggling. Management's with him the whole time. At least the coaching staff is. Are you always with your employee the whole time? Do they know it? I guarantee you, most employees, not all, but 80% of employees will somewhat accept their firing if they know you have supported him every step of the way, because they'll know it's on them. If they feel like you've been against them the whole time, they'll blame you for it, storm off, and now you've got a disgruntled former employee, and that's never a good thing either. Always remember that. Last one about Barrett Hayton is about his aggression and scoring goals from Coach Andre Tourigny.
I always joke to him. I say, you can pass the puck to their goalie. So now I don't say you shoot the puck. I say, you pass the puck in the mesh. So I told him that yesterday. He passed the puck in the mesh. He did it twice again tonight. So he needs to keep passing the puck to their goalie. It works well.
So he's joking like in the beginning, he really wasn't shooting it. He's just passing it to the goalie. And the shots were easy to save. Now he's making his passes to the mesh, meaning he's really shooting it past the goalie. Pretty entertaining, but it shows you how cool it feels as a coach when you were right about somebody you believed in and you see them getting the fruits of the combined labor between the two of you. It just blows me away. 5 games in 7 days. Now they're off all the way until Friday. By the way, NHL, fix your schedule. You guys are a joke in the fact that, hey, in case you don't know, the Coyotes, because of that shared Arizona-Tennessee border, they're in the same division as the Nashville Predators. Yet Las Vegas, the Kings, and the Ducks, who we actually do share a border with, they're in the Western, they're in the Pacific. We're too far from the Pacific. We're right next to the Cumberland River, though. You guys are brilliant. Hopefully I'm brilliant in versus Vegas. It's up next. This is the home of Doug Fron's Unplugged. This is presented by Whirlwind Golf Club at Wild Horse Pass on WTSMTV.com.
It's big, it's juicy, it's meaty. Get your burrito at Burrito Express. If you're having a hangover, a bad day, even a good day, still get your burrito at Burrito Express. It will make you feel better.
Burrito Express started with my father about 25 years ago. He got laid off and decided that he needed to do something to provide for his family. My brother and I were older teens, 17, 18 year old. And I'm going to do a trial out of my house. So literally we decided we're going to start out of his house. So we delivered menus in a square mile area, literally started delivering burritos out of our home in Mesa, Arizona. And after about a month, he said, let's do this. Went and found his first location. And believe it or not, that's how it started. We started with one location back in 1995. Now we're where we are now.
You know, there's a lot of other things I'd like to talk about than what I have to talk about. But what I have to talk about is what happened last night, and that would be extreme and total failure. The one game I told you, I'm going to get this one right. I did. The other ones, I blew it. Just blew it. It's time for
versus Mayo.
Not happy. Okay, the game I told you I was going to get right on versus Vegas, I crushed that one. I told you Clippers -4.5 against the Bulls just doesn't make sense. Bulls are on the back end of a back-to-back. And the Clippers are 400 times a better team. And yet it's only a 4.5-point spread. I got that one right. Vegas blew it. Clippers won 124-112. That one was easy. Why did I just stop? Why didn't I stop there? I took Indiana Pacers on the money line saying Dallas is starting to fall apart. Dallas won by like 45. That blew that. And then I took Sacramento -5.5 because Minnesota's on the back end of a back-to-back. And they just won that back-to-back. I thought, no way are they going to turn around. Sacramento's got rest. Sacramento didn't cover because they didn't win. Minnesota a winner, even though the Kings were favored by 5.5. So I blew that one. So that one pretty sunk. So I went 1-2 yesterday, dropping the record to, I did cross the 800 plateau since we started this journey together. I'm 800-712-1 since the beginning of versus Vegas so long ago. But really, really frustrated by the Kings pick. The Pacers pick, was, you know, I'm frustrated with myself on that one. I should have known eventually Dallas is going to win. Why trust the Pacers to be the team that that keeps their streak going? But from the standpoint of Sacramento, I'm like, Kings, what are you doing? But okay. Suck it up and get over it, right? I have to. There's a lot of games tonight, both the NHL and the NBA, but there's not a lot of games that I really love. Now, Memphis is one of the best home teams in basketball, and they take on Orlando, and it's only a 6.5-point spread. I'm guessing what Vegas is saying is that, you know what, at 6.5, we know that you know Orlando's terrible, and we think there's going to be a letdown when you have this hotly contested Western Conference race. But here's the thing. Right now, Memphis is flying. Since Ja came back, they've come together better as a team, and they were winning without Ja, which shows him, hey, you better wake up. They've won 9 of their last 10. Why would I believe the Orlando Magic is going to be the team that gets in the way of that? So I love Memphis at home, covering the 6.5. I'm a little nervous about ever trusting the Thunder with this big of a spread, but there's no way I could do the money line. They're playing Charlotte, but Oklahoma City's a 10.5-point favorite. That's a lot. Now, if you're new to gambling or you never even tried it, you have a spread and you have the money line, okay? So you can choose. I'm just going to bet the money line. That means if they win, I win. Well, Vegas says, all right, if you're not going to use the point spread, that's not fair to us, that you are just going to say it straight up. So we're going to change what you have to bet. So then it's called the juice. How much do you have to bet to win $100, okay? So if you ever look at a money line and it says minus 150, you see the minus, you don't have to bet $100, but think like this. If I bet 150, I win 100. That's what the minus means, okay? If it says minus 200, you have to bet $200 just to win 100, right? You with me? Oklahoma City tonight is a minus 525. So even if you want to look at it in the Doug Franz world of gambling, I have to bet $5.25 just to win a buck. That's how bad the Thunder are favored against the Hornets. Well, I'm not going to do that, okay? So then I got to take the spread. It's 10.5 points. Do you trust Oklahoma City that much? But the Thunder are terrible. They are terrible. I'm going to take the Thunder -10.5 because I think the Charlotte Hornets are absolutely terrible, but I'm a little nervous, I admit, totally, on that one. And then my last one, as I'm trying to find it because I wrote it down on a different sheet of paper, and as soon as I see it, I will remember what it is. And it is, sorry at the boredom here. Oh, there it is. Boston is 57-11, and they're starting to just kind of cruise a little bit. Nashville's a good team, but the game is in Boston, and the juice isn't outrageous. If I take it on the puck line, it's minus 130. That means I have to win the game by at least 2 goals or more. And I'm going to take the Bruins winning it on the puck line, covering the puck line, and I get minus 130, so I'm happy with that. Those are my three games for versus Vegas today. I admit, though, I didn't find a ton that I liked. Coming up tomorrow, a lot more breakdown of everything Jonathan Gannon said, not just one, but keep in mind, he was talking right in the middle of Doug Franz Unplugged today. So we'll have a lot more Cardinals to talk about. I'm also really interested in the Lamar Jackson situation as it relates to some of the things that the Colts have been saying. That shows me they've got an opinion that they want the Cardinals to think. So I want to talk deeply about that. Plus, coming up tomorrow at 9 o'clock, Sun Devil Sources' Chris Cartman is going to join us, and we've got a ton to talk about with him. Transfer portal players leaving Bobby Hurley. Spring game coming up. How is spring ball doing for ASU football? We also have Willie McGinnis. Willie McGinnis? He's the linebacker for the Patriots. That's pretty brilliant on my part. We're also going to talk ASU baseball as Willie Bloomquist has led them to a sweep of U of A this last weekend. So we got those three big ASU topics to talk about tomorrow as well. And then hopefully I rebound when we talk about my performance on versus Vegas. Thanks a lot to Parker & Sons, heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical. Big sponsor of Doug Franz Unplugged, supported us almost right from the beginning. Mikey did sponsor us right from the beginning, the first ever sponsor of Doug Franz Unplugged. He owns Bell's Nashville Kitchen, which is on the east side, Old Town Scottsdale. It's on Main Street, just a couple feet east of Scottsdale Road. He also owns the Rosati's at Ray and McQueen, so only the one in Chandler is part of the Unplugged Army. So if you're interested in cold beer, hot pizza, good wings, then you want to go to Rosati's and make sure that you go to the one on Ray and McQueen. And then there's Burrito Express, all locations on the east side. But you know what? If you're in the Unplugged Army and we invade Burrito Express and you're a West Sider and you keep saying, hey, give me West Side, give me West Side, give me West Side Burrito Express, maybe Angel and Mark will listen. And of course, the presenting sponsor of Doug Franz Unplugged, who's going to lead us in Cinco de Mayo at Civlic, that is our friends at Wild Horse Pass and the beauty of Whirlwind Golf Club. I can't wait to see you there on May 5th. I'll see you tomorrow.